to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 51. I'm going to read some of that this morning. Go ahead and be seated. We're not going to read yet. I'll have you stand when I read it. Just kind of mixing things up. I was down in Jackson preaching this last week, and Jackson, Michigan, preaching revival. And how many of you remembered to pray for me while I was gone? God blessed, and God did great things. Sunday morning was wonderful. The only thing that was bad was it was so hot down there, and we were in a tent. They had a beautiful auditorium 200 feet away, and they have air conditioning in that auditorium, and we were in a tent. The only thing that kept me going is I looked over at Don Case, and I saw the sweat just running down his face, and I thought, oh, if he can do it, I can do it. He's an old man, and I'm a young man. If he can do it, I can do it. And I got up and preached. Sunday morning was wonderful. Sunday night I preached, and I felt like it was a little flat. The altar was filled. Man, people came, and it was a wonderful service, but it was one of those services where I felt like maybe I didn't do my part, not like I ought. So on Monday night, I called out the big guns. I texted all of my grandchildren that were under third grade on down, and I said, you pray for Papa. He's going to be preaching at 7 o'clock. And here's why I did that. I know that God hears the prayers of children. I know He does. They're not all messed up like you and I are. They don't have all kinds of baggage like you and I do. And sometimes, you know, I kind of thwart some of those prayers and things don't get done. So I know, just like you, when you hear your grandkids, you're going to, how many of you got real good looking grandkids? Raise your hand. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is, right? And they ask you for something. You're going to be there for them, man, as best you can. You don't want to ruin them. I spank my grandkids. I don't know if you know that or not. But they love me. And after I get done spanking them sometimes, they love me even more. And that's the way it's, you know, and that's good. And I do love them. I'm going to give them everything I can. And so I figure God hears the prayers of these little children of God. He loves them. And He's going to hear them. And Monday night, the windows of heaven broke loose. I've never been in a service like that where I was preaching, where I was part of what was going on. And I preached on repentance. And the weeping was uncontrollable. Man, I'd never seen anything like that. The altar call just went on and on and on. Not because somebody was up begging for someone else to come. That wasn't it. Nobody had enough composure to step up to the pulpit and start to close the altar call. It was just amazing. People were weeping during the message. People were weeping during the... And then revival took place the rest of the week. It's like everybody finally surrendered and God was able to do what it was he wanted to do. And we're living in a day and age where people won't tolerate the Bible that are unbelievers or that are rebels against the cause of Christ. Two different services while I was preaching, people got up and left. And I just preached like I preach up here. And I said to the Pastor White afterwards, hey, you know, I never saw those people before in my life. I was preaching on the devil one night, and a young couple in their mid-20s, they got up and left and spun gravel all the way out of the parking lot. You know, just people hate God today. It's amazing. This culture of darkness. I want this to be positive this morning, but I want to talk turkey to you as well. Some of you might get mad at what I'm going to say. That's fine. I want to preach the whole counsel of God. And even if you get mad at Pastor Rader, he loves you. I want you to know that. He's got issues, and he's an old, crotchety old man sometimes, but he loves you. And I want you to do right. I want you to know God's blessing. I really do. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We'll do that to start with. You might hold your hand here in Psalm 51, because we're going to come back to that, Lord willing. 1 John in chapter 2. one great victory. I don't know how many people were saved because of the way it was done, and it's just the way it happened during the altar call. A lot of people came and got assurance of their salvation, and there were people that came for salvation. I don't have numbers. God knows that, and the pastor down there, he kept track of all of that. But one young man, I think it was about 18 years of age. I know he was 18 years of age. Weeping, this was on Wednesday, surrendered to preach. He knew that God had called him to preach, and he was running from it. So, you know, thank you for your prayers. You're part of that. You prayed, you asked God to bless your pastor, and you're part of that, and you're part of all the rewards and all that is going to, who knows where he is going to end up. That's a wonderful truth. But what I want to say this morning in talking turkey, I'll use those words, is we've gotten too friendly with the world at Fundamental Baptist Church. We have. I want to commend you when you do right. And a lot of good things are happening. I mean, a lot of great things are happening. And all the glory goes to God. And souls are being saved. But we clutter up the pipeline for the power of God with our own foolishness all too often. And our own rebelliousness. We're not to be friends with this world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. It's going to end. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That word there for world is the word cosmos. That speaks of this present day in which we are living. The present system in which we find ourselves as Fundamental Baptist Church. The present culture in which we find ourselves. And if we're not careful, we get sucked into the world. Some Christians are angry with other Christians. You've got to get past that. You're cluttering up the pipeline of the power of God. You're messing up on the joy of God in your lives. You've got to get past that. You've got to let things go. You can't grudge things. You can't hold on to things and keep bringing them up. That's got to go. It's got to go in order to have God's revival. Some people are caught up in the things of this world as far as not caring for other people. Some people aren't carrying their Bibles to church. I observe things. I look around. I love you. Sometimes I talk to you one-on-one. Let me just talk as a group. I understand technology a little bit. You won't believe this or not. I'll admit this from the pulpit. I actually Google things now. I did some research on the road with my smartphone. I actually Googled it. Hey, what's the population of Jackson, Michigan? The population of Jackson, Michigan. Wow, that's amazing. I'm going to sound smart. I'll write that down, you know, and I'll Google things. I don't trust all the sources. I check out the sources and the sites and all that kind of thing. I understand that. But bring your Bible to church. Here's why. It's a testimony. One of the first things I recognized at church when I first got saved is, you know what's different about this church? The church I got saved in? Everybody's carrying a Bible. That's amazing. That preaches a message. I know you got your Bible on your smartphone. That's for emergencies. Because you don't always have your Bible with you. But man, you ought to have a textbook. You ought to have a Bible that is wore out and you love it. And you wear it out. And you carry it with you because it's a flag. That nut's carrying a Bible over there. It's a flag. You're using this Bible to attract people to Christ. Man, we've gotten too friendly with the world. I encourage you, as your pastor, don't stop carrying your Bible. Don't count on a Bible in the pew. That's not your Bible. Man, love your Bible. Love the old blessed book. Love the times that you spend in it. You ought to be able to open, you ought to be familiar with your Bible and see your own notes there. Man, don't get cold. Don't get all caught up in technology. And I know you can't take notes on that iPad or notes on that smartphone. Carry your Bible to church and everywhere else you can as well. It's a testimony. We need revival. Some people aren't loving. Some people are skipping services. We've become too casual with God. I can take them or leave them. I can forsake church. I've come up with all kinds of reasons to miss church. Some people are immodest. Ladies, some of the dresses have gotten real short. If you're a visitor, you don't even need to hear this. I want you to grow. I want you to come to Christ. But, you know, we don't need sensuality here. Don't need it. You shouldn't even own that stuff. And God, we're cluttering up the pipeline to the power of God. You understand? You say, oh, they dress that way in Hollywood. They dress that way in Grand Rapids or Detroit. They dress that way in Washington, D.C. I'll tell you one thing. They don't dress that way in heaven. And we're going to find that out when we get there. Modesty. Modesty. You know, I'm actually seeing mini skirts now. I said, come on. Give an inch to take a mile. You know how that is? And don't get mad at me. I told you some of you are going to get mad at me. Take it up with God. Open your Bible. The big Bible word is modesty. Don't clutter things up. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, we do not need sensuality here. We don't need that. I want the power of God. That was just a little speech. That was just a little chat, a little pep talk for the church. And most of you know all of this, and you know better. And I want to kind of pull in the ropes a little bit, and I got to do that, pull back on the reins from time to time. Let's get to the place where God can bless us. Let me talk to you about repentance here in Psalm 51. Go back to Psalm 51 now. I've used this illustration before. It's not much of an illustration. It's real simple and it's real short. John Wesley said, this is repentance. He was preaching to a bunch of farmers and people that maybe weren't the most educated people, but they were intelligent. And he said, this is repentance. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I get saved. There's repentance. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. You can't get saved without repentance. There needs to be sorrow for your sin. It's not cheap grace. Jesus did all the work. You don't need to work for it, but it costs something. And please understand this. You can't be casual about your salvation. Don't sit back and say, well, I can't. I kind of grew into it. Red flag. You need to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Repentance. There's not a lot of repentance in the church of Jesus Christ today. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And what's going on, even after salvation now, what's going on all too often in the church? I see it everywhere. I see it all over America. People aren't repenting of their sin anymore. They're saved by grace, and they're all caught up in that, and we are saved by grace. I don't deny that, but there's no personal confession and repentance of sin. I know you sinned since last week. So did I. If not by act, sins of omission, sins of the spirit, saying things we shouldn't say, going places we shouldn't go. I know you've committed sin. What'd you do with that sin? Well, I'm saved by grace. You're clogging up the pipeline to the power of God. You need to, instead of sweeping it under the rug, you need to confess your sin and you need to repent of it. I'm talking about as a believer. You don't lose your salvation when you sin as a Christian, as a child of God, but you do break fellowship with God. That's exactly what happened to Adam in the garden. Adam, where are you? We used to meet every night. Where are you? He'd sinned. As children of God, I think this is the 21st century church. We've become casual. It's bad news. God's not a grandpa. God isn't going to just turn his back on our sin. You know why everything? You cannot name one person that's turned his back on God as a child of God and it's going well for them. You can't name them. They are not out there. That is not the direction to go in. Don't drink at that well. That well is poisoned. As a child of God, we need to repent of our sin. When's the last time you wept? Not because the cat died. You wept because of personal sin. When's the last time you said, God, I did wrong? Didn't get caught. You just said, God, I'm sorry. I've offended you. What I did is an affront to the grace of God. I'm sorry. I'm saying there's no repentance today going on in the church like it ought to. There are a few, but as a group, there's a big group here this morning, right? 300-400 people. I wonder how much repentance went on this week at Fundamental Baptist Church. Are we just going along to get along? Are we just kind of covering our own tracks? How close do you walk with God? Teenager, when's the last time you wept Because you pointed someone to hell. Because you did wrong. When's the last time, as a child of God, you were sorry for your sin? Say, well, I think I wept when I got saved. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. That doesn't save you. Said, I was real then. When's the last time your sin bothered you? Because as a child of God, it will. Let's go to Psalm 51. I want to read some of this. It's very familiar to many of us here this morning. I trust that God will bless. And repentance, by the way, is an inner sorrow of the soul because of sin. Repentance is shame because of sin. It's not being casual with God. I'll tell you, here's the good news. God's going to forgive you, but you need to come to Him. God is never going to throw you away if you've been born again. You are eternally His, and you're going to God's heaven, but you're messing up your life, and you're making a bigger mess of it than what it was. And there's a couple of things we're going to see here in Psalm 51, if I'm able to preach it this morning. Number one, you're going to rob yourself of the power of God, and number two, you're going to rob yourself of the joy of God. You know the story. This is David. David had committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. David, a man after God's own heart, the king of Israel, in the process had committed three capital crimes according to Levitical law. David deserved to die. It was capital punishment. But God forgave him of his sin. And prophet Nathan told him that. David finally said in Samuel, I have sinned against God. Finally, he said it. And Nathanael said, therefore, God, because you have confessed that, God will not take the kingdom from you today. He has forgiven you. By the way, if it's not going very well, very good in your life, as a child of God, you probably have a rebellious heart. It's something to examine, even if you're 10 years old. If you're 100 years old. David says, have mercy upon me, O God. Let me say this. We have one hope. It's mercy. You know why? We're evil. We're corrupted. We're terrible sinners. Every single one of us. From the oldest to the youngest, from the one that's closest to God to the one that's farthest from God. Anything short of hell, Tim Rader does not deserve. Tim Rader deserves to have his back broke and go to hell. That's the facts. Like David of old, I have one hope, and it's the mercy of God. It's found in Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Have mercy upon me, O God. Man, when's the last time you had that kind of attitude? David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. And he does. He has loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Understand, David was guilty of... David had blood on his hands. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. 18 months, David could not sleep. For 18 months, he was a backslidden child of God. For 18 months, he'd go to bed at night after the busyness of the day, and he tried to drown himself in the busyness of the day. He'd lay his head on his kingly pillow, and he would cry himself to sleep. And then he'd wake up in the wee hours of the morning. The weight of his sin was so upon him. It was like he was a stranger to God. I wonder if that's how you feel this morning. I know why. There's no repentance. David said, please take it all away. He said, I know I sinned against Israel. I sinned against Bathsheba. I've sinned against Uriah. I've sinned against my family, the next generation. But most of all, God, I've sinned against you. You know when you choose to do wrong, what you do to God? Do you understand that? We become too casual. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Man, he said, I was a sinner. God in heaven, I've been a sinner right from the very beginning. Before I even breathed my first breath, when I was still in my mother's womb, I was a sinner. I understand that. I'm a child of Adam. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Hypocrisy is repulsive to God. Some of us, we need to humble ourselves a little bit. Hang up the halo. It doesn't fit real well. And start serving God. Quit pretending you're something. I'm quit pretending we're something we're not. You know, the man that's closest to God, the woman that's closest to God, that's the most humble person. That's the one that's the most thankful. This one over here is dull. Doesn't even know what's going on. Got all caught up in something else. He said, thou desirest truth. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop. That's reference to the Old Testament tabernacle. That's reference to the Passover and the blood of the Passover lamb that was sprinkled on either side of the door and above the door. And the death angel, when the death angel saw the blood, passed over that home. He said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He said, I want to know happiness again. God, I want to laugh again. I want to know joy again. He had so done wrong, and he recognized it and hurt so many people along the way, like a bull in the china shop. I know what I want, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to take it. And that's exactly what David did. Now he's at the bottom of life. And he said, I want to know joy again. Remember how happy you were when you first got saved? If you think of the most joyful times in your life, I can nail it down without knowing your story and tell you this, and you'd have to think about it and say, that's right. That's when you were close to God. No exceptions. That's when you had joy and happiness. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. The backslider. You know the story of the shepherd. David was a shepherd king. He was a shepherd boy before he was king, before he was ever warrior king. And when a little lamb would wander from the flock, the shepherd would take his crook and bring him back to the flock with his staff. And that lamb would wander off again. Man, that lamb's going to end up dying if he doesn't start listening to the shepherd. The shepherd would bring him back. And then the lamb would not listen to the shepherd. What the shepherd would do, the Bedouin shepherds, is they would take the leg of the little lamb and they would break it. Now the lamb can't go anywhere without the shepherd. And then that shepherd who loves the lamb would take the lamb. He saved his life. That lamb doesn't know it, but he saved his life. Take that lamb, and he would carry him on his shoulders. All the other sheep were walking on their own, but the shepherd would guide the flock, and he would carry that lamb until the lamb's leg was healed. Then he'd set the lamb down. Now the lamb is close to the shepherd. That's what happens to too many Christians. We have to be chastised by God because we insist on wandering off. And because God loves you and I, he chastises us. So we'll learn to lean on God. He said, God, do that and restore the joy. Verse 9 says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. David's ashamed of his sin, ashamed before his heavenly Father. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God's cleansing agent, by the way, is the blood. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's Old Testament. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There it is. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Let's talk turkey. We need the power of God. We need revival. We need the joy of God. It won't happen to the rebel or in the spirit of rebellion. We need to surrender to God. We need to repent of our sin so that we'll have it. 800 people, that's a big stretch. That's next Sunday already. I'm not reprimanding you in anger. I'm not. And I've been gone a week, and there are other cards back there other than my cards, but over half of those cards are cards I put on the wall before I left. And I know what, you're good people. I know what you're thinking. Other people will invite others. Man, that's just not going to happen, not with that attitude. We need to work together for the cause of Christ. Not clutter up that pipeline to the power of God. Get the mess out of your life by repenting of your sin. Then you'll have joy. Let's read on. Verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You get right with God, and then you have the power of God. David said, if you'll take care of this God, then I'll be able to teach transgressors thy ways. Sinners will be converted and come to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not burnt offering, the sacrifices of God. And we can be thankful for this, by the way. In order to offer God all the sacrifices that are needed, that's an expensive worship. But you see, God isn't looking for that. He's looking for a heart that's surrendered to Him. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. That's revival. That's repentance. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Thou shalt be pleased. And you can read on and read more of that. It just simply comes down to this. I'm through, and I just need you to hang with me here for just a moment. Just a moment. Let's get real before God. I don't know what your sin is. I may not have mentioned it this morning. I don't know what kind of rebellion you're caught up on in, or what sin you're clinging to, and it's your own little pet peeve. And God help you, it's keeping you from knowing the joy of God, and it's keeping you from knowing the power of God. Will you surrender that this morning? Will you repent of that sin this morning? And please, you can't be thinking about someone else that's sitting down, they're sitting next to you in the pew somewhere or in a chair somewhere. You can't be thinking about them. This is between you and God. That's what it came to in David's life. God was no longer hearing his prayers. The skies had turned to steel. His prayers were bouncing off the ceiling. The joy of God, it wasn't there. He was no longer bringing people to Christ. The power of God, it was gone. I got to tell you, God never blesses sin. Never. But He does bless our repentant heart. Wherever God has spoken to you this morning, it's old-fashioned and it's cliche. Get right with God. Turn, John Rice used to say, turn or burn. Your choice. Please don't be a teenager thinking, I'll get right some other day, some other time. Don't be thinking you're going to make it in someone else's spirituality. You need to develop some Bible convictions. You need to know God better. Everyone here, we need to love Him better.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.